missing this.
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this, the all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home, featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis, plus almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. A more electric team up than Salah and Mane. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
You're very welcome along to this Friday's edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour. We have got a huge amount of football to talk about over the next few days, including a mouthwatering Champions League quarterfinal due to take place this evening between the two teams who are left who have previously lifted the trophy. Five-time winners each, Barcelona and Bayern Munich, will meet in Lisbon this evening for the first place in the semi-finals on that side of the draw. We'll also look forward to Man City against the French side Lyon, which is on tomorrow evening, which will complete one side of the draw. We already know that it's going to be RB Leipzig, who dumped out Atletico Madrid last night against PSG, winners against Atalanta in the other semi-final next week. We also have the small matter of the Europa League semi-finals to come. Sevilla, five-time winners of the competition, stand in the way of the 2017 champions Manchester United and a place in the final. They meet in Cologne in the first of the Europa League semis this coming Sunday. And then we will also have a match on Monday in the last four of that competition when Shakhtar Donetsk will take on Inter Milan. So all that to look forward to over the next few days. We will be discussing odds over the next half an hour or so. For information on responsible gambling, check out dunlewy.net. And our football coverage on Off the Ball is with thanks to Paddy Power. Joining me to have a look forward to all of these games and to make sense of what's happened so far this week, we've got Off the Ball's Philip Egan. Phil, how are things?
How are you doing, Will?
And we've also got Jason Murphy from our sponsors, Paddy Power, joining us too. How are things, Jason?
All good, thanks.
A lot to look forward to. Phil, I'll start with you because we've had a couple of intriguing games so far in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Not particular classics in either case, but plenty of drama, first of all, in PSG against Atalanta, with the Parisians getting out of jail somewhat midweek.
Yeah, I mean, Atalanta were just a few minutes away from that shock, but you could tell that they were hanging on, and there was that sense of that feeling when the equaliser went in, Marquinhos scored, that if it did go to extra time, that PSG would win comfortably. But obviously, they popped up with the winner. Unlikely match winner in Choupo-Moting, but nevertheless, PSG will definitely be happy after watching last night's game as well, thinking that they'd rather play Leipzig than Atletico Madrid, because we saw with last night's game as well, Atletico Madrid, how defensively they set up, where you can expect a more open semi-final, and that would probably suit PSG. Interesting to see if Mbappe is back. Obviously, he had a huge impact when he came on, but also not only when he came on, it just meant Neymar played a bit further up the pitch, because unfortunately for Neymar, he was dropping too deep. He was trying to do too much on his own, and he was too far away from goal. But you could see how he set up the winner. It was his lovely ball into Mbappe. He then squared it for Choupo-Moting. So that's where you want Neymar. I know his shooting was off the other night, but you know, he came up with the goods when they needed him.
And Choupo-Moting, as you mentioned, he can do it on a cold night in Stoke, as he showed previously. He can also do it on a balmy night in Lisbon as well, Phil.
Yeah, as I said, like, he was the fifth substitute on. Obviously, this is something that's been brought in since the pandemic, where you can make more substitutions. And he's one of, in fairness, Mauro Icardi wasn't one of his better nights. But again, that probably just comes from the fact that there wasn't that much ball going into him. And maybe you can expect a better game from Icardi the next game, because if Mbappe does start, I don't know if Mbappe would start, because he played half an hour. We don't know how bad his ankle is after the game. Sometimes adrenaline can get you through half an hour. But to start a game and, you know, if you risk him and something happens, you don't have him the way they did the other night to come off the bench and make that impact. But yeah, quite a story where you'd wonder where players like Choupo-Moting end up. But I suppose we would have seen him earlier in the competition as well, and would have seen him there last season. So yeah, it's during the week, Josh King was a player that was being linked with PSG, and I thought to myself, when Choupo-Moting was coming on, I thought that could be you, Josh King. But maybe they don't need him anymore, because Choupo-Moting came up with the goals. And I thought to myself as well, Mbappe squared the ball. If Mbappe put the ball through for Neymar, would Neymar have squared it to Choupo-Moting? I don't know.
No, I think Neymar would have probably had a shot. But the upshot is the PSG are into the last four of the competition for the first time since 1995. RB Leipzig, on the back of their victory against Atletico Madrid 2-1 last evening, are now into their first ever European Cup semi-final. It's been a remarkable journey for them, Phil, this season. And I wonder, was Timo Werner, what he was thinking when he was looking on in camp with Chelsea currently a pre-season, given that his move took place before the knockout stages of the Champions League? I'm sure he's probably kicking himself that he doesn't get to play in a European semi-final.
Yeah, but obviously he's moved to Chelsea hoping that he gets to play in several European semi-finals and finals. And you kind of feel that maybe against PSG, that's where they're going to miss Werner the most, because the goals didn't come from strikers last night. And I thought they were very good. Leipzig, obviously, certainly bringing the ball out, you know, held their nerve, playing the ball out from the back, held onto possession quite well, but just didn't have that cutting edge. They got the two goals, but I wonder, will they be able to, will their shortcomings up front actually be their undoing when they play PSG at the weekend?
Phil, we'll begin our look forward then to Friday night's game, which is a huge one, I think probably game of the weekend,
yeah,
where you've got Barcelona against Bayern Munich. We've had kind of a couple of unusual last knockout meetings between these sides, but every time they've met in the European Cup, the winner of the tie has gone on to lift the trophy. So we'll see if that's actually going to be the case after this evening. But we think back to 2015, Barcelona easily accounted for Bayern Munich across two legs, 5-2. Leo Messi had an absolute masterclass in the leg in that one at the Nou Camp. And then we remember back to 2012-2013, where there was a huge semi-final victory for Bayern Munich, where they won 7-0, 4-0 and 3-0 across the two legs. It's interesting going into this third one. It's so long since they've actually met, but generally when they meet in Europe, it tends to be on big occasions, Phil.
Yeah, and we wondered how the one game, the one-off game format would work. You know, you were kind of worried, would there be cagey games because there's too much to lose, whereas obviously if you have a second leg, you can recover the tie. And Barcelona know that only too well from last season when they were home and hosed, they thought, but obviously lost the second leg of a semi-final. It all points towards a Bayern Munich win because obviously they're scoring plenty of goals. I know they had a little bit of a break after the Bundesliga season, but the beauty of that Chelsea second leg was that was their way of tuning up for this game. And you just wonder, will Barcelona be able to live with the energy and the attacking prowess of the Bayern team? There's an awful lot of pressure on Leo Messi. I wonder what kind of positions he's going to take up. It'd be interesting to see him if he's going up against Alphonso Davies, who we know has just been a revelation this season, just going to keep getting better. I wonder, will Griezmann maybe come out of the team? Or does Setien think maybe I'll try and bring in Vidal on the right-hand side and try and nullify that threat from Davies going in the left-hand side?
Well, that has been the suspicion all week, is that they're going to play four in midfield. Arturo Vidal and Sergio Busquets are back from suspension from the Napoli game last Saturday. He could well pack the midfield and put Leo Messi in the number 10 position behind Luis Suarez. It would show huge respect to Bayern Munich if Barcelona changed their style. But it seems that Kiki Setien could well do that. Jason, when we look at this Bayern team, I mean, they've won in all competitions 22 of their last 23 games, a run that stretches back to February. And since they came back from lockdown at the end of May, Bayern won all 12 games at the end of the season. They're in really imposing form coming into this Champions League quarterfinal.
Absolutely. Massive favourites for this game as far as the prices are concerned. We have them at about even 10 to 11. They're kind of jumping between the two. In terms of match bet, then, if you have a team that's 7-4, both teams 7-4 at a neutral venue, obviously those teams are, markets are saying, equally matched, but with Bayern being about even money or 10 to 11, the markets are saying that Bayern are at least half the goal better than Barcelona, which is quite significant given the names of the two teams involved. And that gap would be even bigger if it wasn't for that one man, which is Lionel Messi. You know, there's a lot of talk at the moment about the Ballon d'Or. If it wasn't postponed, Lewandowski would probably deserve it, and probably would. He's got 47 goals and 8 assists this season. That's in the Bundesliga and Champions League. So for every minute he's been on the pitch this season, Lewandowski has contributed a goal or assist every 61 minutes, which is phenomenal. Now, Messi hasn't done too bad himself. He's actually about 65 minutes this season. He's contributed all our assists, which is phenomenal. But Messi, over the last 11 seasons across all the Liga and Champions League games, every 61 minutes he contributes a goal and assist. So what Lewandowski has done this season, essentially, Messi has done it for the last 11 years. And he makes extraordinary, he looks so ordinary. And the most amazing thing about his goal against Napoli last week, it's a very, very small thing, but it's obvious seeing him jump back off the ground. But before he takes the shot, he's letting the ball roll. It's the slightest little shove with his feet and his right shoulder that drags Manolas with him to the right, that opens up that bit of space for him to shoot with the left. It's such a minor thing, but such an incredible thing that allows him to get the shot on the angle away. In terms of this match tonight, if we see what we've seen so far on the season, then Bayern Munich probably win 2-1, 3-1. They've been brilliant. Whereas Barcelona, you can't think of one game where you can say Barcelona as an 11 have been brilliant. Messi has been brilliant, but the rest of the team, not so much. The only chance Barcelona is that Messi would actually, you know, score a couple of goals. He scored two goals in the quarterfinal against Bayern Munich in 2009, and Barcelona went on to win it. But unless Messi does a miracle tonight, then Bayern Munich at 10-11 or even money, based on what we've seen so far this season, is the bet.
Yeah, Phil, I was just thinking in terms of Lewandowski ahead of tonight, he's on the cusp of a big landmark goal in Europe. He can score his 50th Champions League goal if he scores tonight. He's scored in his last seven games in the Champions League. He's on just this tremendous run of form, and I certainly wouldn't be backing against him scoring against Barcelona tonight.
No, well, obviously you have the added thing as well of him taking penalties, and he's so reliable from penalties. And, you know, we saw in the Europa League during the week what how valuable it is to have a reliable penalty taker, because Bruno Fernandes scores his one for United, Raul Jimenez misses his one for Wolves, and these are the fine margins in the latter stages of a top European competition. But yeah, it's just all points towards Bayern being too good for Barcelona. And I suppose, you know, look, it's a one-off game where as a one-legged game, so, you know, there could be incidents even watching the game last night where you think of somebody can get injured. If there's a penalty, you think back to the Saul Núñez one where it looked like, well, he went down and like there was minimal contact from Galassi, but funny, I certainly wouldn't have given it as a penalty. But if that's given as a penalty and Atletico go 1-0 up, then they're a different proposition because they love to dig in and defend. So obviously, I know it's a cliche, but the first goal, you would fear for Barcelona if Bayern get the first goal, because, you know, the confidence, and they're just in relentless form as well, where, you know, they could have quite easily have played a second string team or rested a lot of players for that Chelsea game, but they didn't. They wanted to hit the ground running and basically be ready for this game. And it looks like Pavard's going to miss out, so you bring Kimmich back into the back four, and Thiago, which looks like this is going to be his last few games for Bayern. Who knows, tonight could be the last one. But I think this, when this tie was drawn, this is the pick of them. And kind of before the draw was made, or when the draw was made, I was thinking, I was looking at a Bayern-Atletico final. Obviously, Atletico let me down last night, but I certainly wouldn't be veering away from my pick at Bayern going all the way.
Jason, when it comes to Barcelona's decline, I think their record in quarterfinals in recent years probably tells the story. Of their last six ties in the quarterfinals, they went on to win the tournament in 2015, and they famously lost that semi-final in their collapse against Liverpool last season. But four of the six last quarterfinals they played in the competition, they've been knocked out at this stage, and they've failed to get beyond the last eight. Does that maybe tell you where Barcelona are at compared to in the Pep Guardiola era, where they were consistently at the final and semi-final stage?
Yeah, absolutely. That Pep Barcelona, for me, is the best team that's ever played the game, and they've had their issues since. The reason that Barcelona keep doing what they're doing in the last couple of years, they've consistently got to the quarterfinals since 2009, but a lot of upset since winning in 2015, like you referred to. The game against Roma comes to mind as well. Without Messi, this Barcelona team would have fallen back, and
to be closer to kind of Atletico Madrid's level. Still better than Atletico Madrid, but similar to that level. It's just Messi's brilliance that has kept them ticking along. In terms of match prices that I was referring to earlier, if we're saying, you know, if a team is 7-4, another team's 11-10, you know, it's probably half a goal difference. In terms of match prices, the difference Messi would make to Barcelona if they were playing in a neutral or pick-em game, he'd probably make Barcelona go from 7-4 into maybe about 6-5. That gives Barcelona about an 8%, 9% chance of winning every game with Messi on the pitch or not being on the pitch. And if you add that up over a 38-game season or add that up over a Champions League tournament, that, you know, with Messi on the pitch, every match you have an 8 or 9% better chance of winning. That's the reason why Barcelona have been getting to these Champions League quarterfinals. But it's other players have let them down. The game against Roma and Liverpool being prime examples. I mean, Dembele in the first leg against Liverpool has a fantastic chance to make it 4-0 before it goes back to Anfield. Messi did miss a few chances himself at Anfield as well, but Barcelona, like I said, the best team ever under Pep Guardiola. A few years of decline now, and it's getting to that stage. We've spoken about it previously. There's a lot of players in the 31 to 33 age bracket that are just coming to the end of their careers, and I worry for Barcelona when Messi goes, like I've referred to on his stats there already. If you're looking for a bet tonight, he is 4-1 in the goal scoring market. Lewandowski 3-1 to score first. Bigger prices than you would get normally on both players when they're, you know, playing in their respective leagues and their team is going off, you know, 1-5, 1-10 shots. So you're getting decent juice in the price on both of them to score, either of them to score the first goal tonight. But yeah, if Barcelona lose tonight, I'd be really concerned for seeing what's going to happen to them in the next couple of seasons. This is, given the mini tournament, it's probably a chance for not a Messi swan song, but it's hard to see if he'll get many more opportunities to win one more Champions League title. And that's probably a small little thing that's in Bayern's favour. Like Setien, this is his first season managing the Champions League. It also is for Hansi Flick, but Hansi Flick was actually assistant manager when Germany won the World Cup in 2014, and I think that experience of, you know, the latter stages of a knockout tournament could also be something that maybe just gives Bayern a slight edge in this game in the tournament going forward, particularly hopefully against Man City in the semi-final.
Yeah, the two guys aren't giving a whole lot of faith towards Barcelona. The feeling is that Bayern Munich are going to march into the semi-finals of the German champions. If Lionel Messi was to win his fifth European Cup, he could have one hell of a journey. Bayern Munich in a quarter-final up against his old boss Pep Guardiola with Man City in all likelihood in the semi, and potentially playing against one of his best mates, Neymar, if PSG get to the final. That could be a very interesting narrative in 2 weeks' time. But looking forward to Man City against Olympic Lyonnais here, Phil. Lyon into their first ever quarterfinal, sorry, their first quarterfinal in 10 years. While Man City have been a bit more consistent at this level, this is 3 years in a row that they've been to the quarterfinal. I think everyone is expecting Man City to brush Lyon aside. Lyon have only had two games since lockdown. One was losing the French League Cup final to PSG. They held on for that away goals win against Juventus last week. But Man City really should have enough here, shouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. This is their chance. This, you know, one leg playing Lyon, they probably couldn't believe their luck when Juventus didn't turn the tie around against Lyon, and City obviously got the job done against Real Madrid. Didn't actually think they were great against Real Madrid. I thought Raheem Sterling was their best player in attack. And obviously, you look at the mistakes that Real Madrid made. So this is a good game, though, for Manchester City, maybe just to kind of play nice, comfortable possession football the way they like to do it, and they won't feel that much of a threat, I think, from Lyon. I suppose the beauty for Lyon is they have Depay back, and, you know, that's something that wouldn't have happened earlier in the season, but the layoff means he's back, and, you know, he showed us how calm he is from the penalty spot against Juventus in the last game. But yeah, you just feel that this is nailed on City win, and I think we'd all love to see a Bayern and City semi-final. Then again, I wouldn't be complaining with a Barcelona and City semi-final. Regardless of who it is against Manchester City, it's going to be Pep Guardiola against one of his former clubs. But you just think that the Bayern and City, the potential semi-final there, just a classic shootout between two teams that like to attack. It could be an absolute classic. But they still have to get the job done. I think they will get it done. It'll be interesting to see what he does in attack. I mentioned Sterling. Sterling starts. He went with Foden the last time, and Gabriel Jesus, obviously, he's not like for like replacement for Aguero. He doesn't score as many goals. He certainly, you know, he brings you more energy in attack, but I'd always rather have Aguero in there instead of Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, Jason, we've got Lyon being heavy underdogs going into this game against Man City, but can they take any inspiration from last season? They won 2-1 at the Etihad in the group stage of the competition, held City to a 2-2 draw. Sergio Aguero scored a late equaliser in that game in France. I mean, they've got to, I guess, those players who were around last season will have to take a bit of confidence from how they played against City last season.
Yeah, unfortunately not all those players are still around either. Nabil Fekir, big loss. Furlan Mendy went to Real Madrid. And even some of the players that did them well in the early stages this season, Toussaint has gone to Hertha Berlin. Something similar to Timo Werner. You'd wonder why he didn't maybe just hang around and play this Champions League. And they've also an injury as well to Jason Denier. Very important at the back for them. It'll be missing against Man City. So it's very hard to see a Lyon upset here. Lyon in the 90-minute market, it's 11-1, and they're 7-1 to qualify. So we're saying, like, if this game was played 8 times, maybe Lyon might go through once. That seems about right to us. It's hard to back Man City at the prices. I mean, 1-5 to win in 90 minutes is really, really short. So if you were looking for an angle, you could have a look at both teams to score. Yes, it's actually odds against at the moment at 11-10. Man City's last 6 Champions League games, we've seen both teams score. And Lyon have actually scored in 7 of their 8 Champions League matches this season. The only one, I think, was against Zenit in the group stages away that they failed to score in. So I think both teams to score is probably an angle here, but I can't see an upset. Lyon did really well against Juventus, played the perfect tie, won 1-0 at home, didn't give away the away goal, went to Turin, got the early goal, and rode their luck as well. Ronaldo had a fantastic chance with a header from a corner with about 15 minutes to go. If he scores, Juve probably go through, and it's kind of header that we would be used to seeing Ronaldo score. So for me, it's very hard to give Lyon any chance in this game. So have a look at both teams to score. If you are looking at a goal score, totally agree with what's been said. Aguero is the main man. So you're looking at Jesus or Sterling if they're up top. Jesus is priced at 11-4, whereas Raheem Sterling is priced at 7-2. And intuitively, that tells you I'd rather be on Sterling at the bigger price straight away. And the numbers back it up. If you look at goals in the league, goals per minute this season, Raheem Sterling scored a goal every 122 minutes, whereas Gabriel Jesus is every 126 minutes. And we see at Liverpool, like, the number 9 doesn't necessarily be the man that gets the goal. It's the guys that are playing wide in the front three that are making those angle runs into the box. And Sterling has mastered that under Pep Guardiola. He started the season on fire. He scored a hat-trick against Atalanta in the group stage. Went off the boil then a bit. His next 26 appearances, he's only scored 7 goals. From December 27 onwards, he didn't score pre-lockdown for that whole period there. But since coming back post-lockdown, he's got 11 goals and 12 appearances. Based on minutes on the pitch, that's a goal every 81 minutes. So Sterling is the man to look to in the goal score markets. We do have a money-back special for this game as well. If Jesus scores any time, you get your money back on any markets. Terms and conditions apply for a max of €10. So what I would suggest with that tenner, it's almost a free shot. I'm expecting Sterling to score. But have a look at Memphis Depay. 6 goals in 6 Champions League games. We've already mentioned the penalty angle. He's on penalties. You can get him 12-1 first goal scorer or 4-1 to score any time. If Lyon do get a goal, which I think they will, Memphis Depay is probably the main man to get it, so you could have a look at him at 4-1. But really, we shouldn't see any upsets here, and we should be licking our lips at the thought of a semi-final for Man City against whoever comes through the other semi-final.
Yeah, going to be very interesting. Semi-finals going underway, Phil, in the Europa League on Sunday in Cologne, where we've got Manchester United up against Sevilla. This one's a heavyweight clash in the Europa League. These teams have all won the Europa League in recent times, with Manchester United lifting the trophy under Jose Mourinho in 2017. Sevilla had won it a couple of seasons before and have won it 5 times in the last 2 decades. So this is going to be a tough one for Manchester United, I would think, Phil, given that United looked a little bit leggy and tired against Copenhagen during the week. Okay, on a different night, Johansson doesn't have the game of his life in goal for Copenhagen, and Man United get a few more goals. But I thought just in general play, United looked a little bit tired.
Yeah, I think watching them the other night, it kind of reminded me a little bit. You mentioned the 2017 campaign where they just stumbled their way through tie after tie. They rode their luck in that semi-final against Celta Vigo. But then actually when they got to the final against Ajax, that was their most comfortable game. I think sometimes with this United team at the moment, they can be a bit inconsistent, but sometimes they can drop a level to the opposition they're playing. So I actually expect them to up their game for Sevilla. We talked about how Jimenez had a chance to put Wolves ahead against Sevilla. Sevilla obviously get the job done. But one thing that was noticeable, Wolves sat back, and United will be happy enough to do that as well and just play on the counter. But the difference with United and Wolves is United have plenty more options on the counter as opposed to Wolves. Their game plan was just find Traore wherever he is. He played up front with Jimenez, but basically, looking at the game the other night, he was just hanging around, waiting for that ball to break to him, and he could have a run at the defence. Obviously, the one big run that he had at them, he got a penalty out of it. But Sevilla don't give away many goals. They've only conceded 1-8, and you know they're on a really good run of form. They haven't lost since February. Obviously, the season has been disrupted, but they finished the season strongly. And yeah, it's going to be a tough game for United, but I think they'll definitely rise to the occasion. We've seen it before, and I'd expect a few changes given the team that he played the other night. Obviously, Fred started, so does he bring Matic back in? And I just think maybe he might change things at the back as well. But the big call for him, I suppose, is does he go Romero or De Gea? Personally, I'd go for Romero. It's an easy out as well for him because he can just say, if anyone questions him after the game, Solskjaer can say, well, Romero's the Europa League keeper, so that's why we chose him. No, you know, no controversy here.
Yeah, Jason, Sevilla are in good form. As Phil mentioned, they're unbeaten in their last 19 in all competitions. They've kept clean sheets in their last three games in the Europa League. This could be a really tight and tense game on Sunday evening.
Absolutely. To win in 90 minutes, Sevilla are 15-8, Man United are favourites at 6-4, and to qualify, Sevilla even money, United favourites at 5-6. I'm a United fan, but I don't agree with those prices. I'd rather be on Sevilla at the bigger price for a couple of reasons. If you look at Sevilla's, where they finished in the Liga this season, just to try and give you a bit of context, they finished fourth, same number of points as Atletico Madrid, and they actually drew two games with Atletico Madrid this season in the Liga. That's just to try and gauge where there would be in terms of strength. Like if this was Atletico Madrid playing Man United, you wouldn't have Man United going off favourites. I'm not saying Sevilla are as good as Atletico Madrid, but just try to gauge it is what we do as odds compilers. Also, we look at Sevilla going off at about 11-10 against Wolves. So the market's saying Sevilla a good bit better than Wolves. I think over the course of the game, they proved that. But if you look at the prices, United went off against Wolves as well. Probably something similar to what Sevilla went off. So United, I don't think, should be favourites for this game. United did look tired the other night. And if, like you said, if the keeper didn't play a blinder, United probably win 2 or 3 nil comfortably, and there's no extra time. But for me, the prices just look wrong. Sevilla were very impressive against Roma, got the job done against Wolves. They're a really, really good side, and at the bigger price, I'd rather be on them coming into this. In terms of the goalkeeper situation, I'd agree that Romero should start. You know, if it wasn't for Higuain, he'd be a World Cup winning goalkeeper. He's won the Europa League in goals for United. And what I like about him that's different to De Gea is he's a bit more proactive in terms of dealing with balls in or around the box. Now, that can get you in trouble too. If you look at the Championship playoff, you know, Joe Bryan's goal from the free kick, he catches the keeper trying to steal a yard for a cross. But in general, Sergio Romero has been a safe pair of hands when he stepped in, and what you want from a goalkeeper is consistency. So I'd have no qualms with Romero staying in the goal as a United fan. One angle you could look at in the goal scorer markets, Sevilla get a lot of corners. It's the way they play. They get a lot of crosses into the box and get a lot of corners as a result. United have conceded 9 goals from corners in the league this season. Sevilla have two massive lads coming from the back. You can have a look at Jules Koundé or Diego Carlos. At the bigger price, I'd go with Jules Koundé at 45-1 first goal scorer, or 20-1 to score any time. He should get a chance from a corner at some stage against United. It's just a matter of whether he takes it. But really looking forward to what will be a tense, tight game. But at the bigger price, Sevilla is the best for this.
And Jason, your special revolves around Manchester United getting through inside 90 minutes.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. So you can have a look at those Sevilla goal scorers that I called out. If United happen to score the first goal, then it's likely United go on to win the game and you'll get your money back. So have a look at Koundé or Carlos, or you can even have a look at Ocampos. He's the main man, scored the goal during the week to get them through. He's had his best ever league season, 14 goals for Sevilla this season. He is on penalties, which is a great angle as well. Another angle you can have a look at as well. In all the league games he's played since he started in Argentina, he's played with a couple of clubs in France and in Italy as well. He's scored 43 league goals, but he's picked up 42 yellow cards as well. but only two red cards. He's a lad who likes to play on the edge, and if Sevilla are ahead with a few minutes to go, he'd be clever to pick up a booking as well. So you can have a look at him in the player to be book markets as well. And if he doesn't pick up a booking and United actually going to win the game, again, you'll get your money back.
All right, okay, well, that's the odds for that one. Phil, I'm going to give you the final word as we go into the last minute of the regulation 30 here. Who do you fancy to get through, Manchester United or Sevilla in Cologne?
I think United. I think this has extra time written all over it, and maybe they get the job done in extra time. But yeah, I think it's going to be really tight and a game worthy of a final. But on the other side of the draw, if Inter Milan go through, well, that's not a given. By the way, a really good Shakhtar team showed what they were made of against Basel. But you know, you're guaranteed, I think, a good final in the Europa League, regardless of what happens between United and Sevilla.
Okay, well, my thanks to both Jason and to Phil. We'll be back next Friday at 1 o'clock to take you through what will be the semi-finals of the Champions League, and looking forward to the Europa League final. All that to look forward to, and the best of luck if you're having a punt on the Europa League or the Champions League this weekend. Have a good one.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power. More confident than United before a Europa League final. Gamble responsibly. See dunluee.net.
Missing this?
When that didn't materialise, I think both Paulie and myself probably looked at each other and kind of thought, what next?
Then get this. The all-new OTB Sports app. Off the Ball, Ireland's premier sports channel, now has a new home. Featuring the biggest names in Irish and world sports. Podcasts, interviews, news, commentary, analysis. Plus, almost 20 years of sporting archives. All free and ready when you are, at home or on the go. The new OTB Sports app. Download it now from the App Store and Google Play.